In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The church at Corinth was a very active church. It had leaders who were especially gifted, but they were selfish and even immoral, and there were divisions between the people in Corinth. Some of them quoted St. Paul to justify their way of understanding, their way of living. And others quoted St. Peter, the leader of the apostles, and some quoted Apollos, who was a very popular and well-known Christian speaker who was gifted in presenting a beautiful and enjoyable sermon. So there was division there, and there was immorality. And there was a claim of special leadership on the part of those who said that they had special knowledge that even the apostles didn't have. They said that they were of Christ, not of Paul or Peter or Apollos. Paul wrote four letters to the church in Corinth. Only two of them survive. 1 Corinthians, that we heard from this morning, is the second of the four letters. The first letter, we know by reputation, was written about Christian morality and church discipline, which had broken down in Corinth, broken down completely, because even though there were leaders there who were especially gifted men, there was no oneness, there was division. And we don't know exactly what's in that first letter, but knowing St. Paul and knowing his vast knowledge of the spiritual tradition of the Jewish people and being able to read all of the other letters that we have of him, we can be certain that he would have pointed out that among the Jews, when it came to sacrifices at the temple were how relationships were maintained. If something broke down between a husband and a wife, or friends, or people who were in business together, or anyone in public life, they took a sacrifice, a dove or some other sacrifice, to the temple and offered sacrifice in order to repair that relationship, to reunite them again. There was no separation between the sacrifice that was made and the oneness that was meant to be there among the people of God. For Christians, rather than the temple altar, everything is brought from within the individual to sacrifice our own willfulness, our anger, our selfishness, our desire to be proven to be right in the end, our desire to win out over others and be the one who always has the advantage. Those things are taken and sacrificed at the altar that is Christ himself, an altar that is meant to be within us. We are meant to be at one with him. Our oneness with God through Christ, who is as fully human as we are, and we are meant to be like his humanity. In Christ, we have a oneness with God, but we have a oneness with all other human beings who are also created in his image and likeness. And when we depart from that life that we are meant to have, a life like the perfect humanity of Christ, then there is need for sacrifice. There is need for repentance. And there is absolute assurance of forgiveness and being brought back into that oneness. And that was going to be the key as to how St. Paul was able to heal the divisions in the church of Corinth and preach, including to those who spoke in his own name. St. Paul didn't want people saying that they were followers of St. Paul. He wanted the reality of the oneness in Christ that God came in order to make possible for us. And so, for Christians, sacrament is an event of repentance and forgiveness and being united again with God and all other human beings. That old temple practice of bringing sacrifices to the altar in order to repair relationships, it's fulfilled in the life that we share in common with one another. The oneness that we can have with one another is a oneness that we have because of Christ. And so St. Paul says, there are no divisions in Christ. There are no people quoting me or St. Peter or Apollos. There are no people who think that they are special and deserve to lead and are greater than the apostles because they have obvious gifts that other people sometimes acknowledge. All of that is of a world where everything is broken and separated. Our lives as Christians are lives of oneness in Christ, peace with one another, and the necessity for repentance and forgiveness in order to maintain that oneness, that love that is the rule between all Christians. Sometimes when the reading about the feeding of the 5,000 from the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes are mentioned, the priest says something about the relationship between that event and communion, the Eucharist. There are so many parallels. But there is something that has to do exactly with Paul's problem with the church in Corinth. The bringing into oneness, the overcoming of separateness and divisions that Christ accomplishes in a special way at that time. St. Matthew tells us that Jesus has looked out across a multitude of people. There are 5,000 that followed him, so there were even more than that. And Jesus felt compassion for them, felt the desire to bring them together to him. And so he healed their sick. And after he left, when he went out toward the desert, into the desert with his apostles, 5,000 men and women and children followed him out into the desert. Now you could say, well, they were hoping to be healed, but he had healed the sick. They followed him because he had done the things that had been prophesied about the one who, when he would come, would make things as they ought to be. Their desire was not for a worldly king. Their desire was to be with Christ, as the 12 were. They didn't take food with them. They didn't take provisions with them. They lost all concern with the things of this world and followed Christ and his apostles out into the desert. The 12 had left worldly things behind and followed Christ. And there's a similarity here between what the apostles did in following Christ and what these thousands did in following Christ into the desert. And as a result, when the time came that everyone had to have something to eat, the apostles went to Christ and they said, "We have no food to feed all of these people. Send them into the villages so that they can buy food." And Jesus says to them, "You feed them. You give them what they need, what they followed us for." Theophylact points out that Jesus is perfectly aware of the poverty of the 12 and himself. And this is something that we don't ordinarily think of. If the thousands weren't there, that 5 loaves and 2 fish, that would have been the food that Jesus and the 12 had to share. 5 loaves and 2 fish. They had no worldly things. They had no things of this world to offer the people. And yet Jesus tells them, "You feed them." He is about to give a great lesson. Not just a miracle, something that could not have been done, that he is able to do because he is who he is. He is the Son of God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, along with the Father and the Holy Spirit, God himself incarnate. And if there is food needed, he can give it. But he doesn't want to do it, showing that I am the Lord of the universe, I can provide you food. Out of nothing, he could make bread out of stones. But he takes what they had, the little that they had as the impoverished 12 plus himself, and he shares it with everyone. He told the apostles, you give them from what you have. Well, what do they have? They have being with Christ. They have a oneness with one another that they would not have except that they are followers of the incarnate Son of God. God himself come into the world, taken on our flesh to be one of us. They have fellowship with him. Give that to them. That's what we are meant to give as Christians to others. It's all we have to share. We may have very little in terms of this world, but we have what the apostles had there at that time. And so the food is given to the 5,000 and more, and afterward there are 12 baskets full of the leftovers. One for each of the apostles to carry, the Blessed Theophylact says, including Judas, which is something to think about. He had that oneness with Christ. He was able to follow along with him. He was given a basket of the food that Christ had multiplied in order to share with everyone, to bring them together. A food that is not just a food of the earth or the sea, the bread from the earth, the fishes from the sea. Not just a food from this world, but a food that is born out of the compassion of Christ for the multitudes. The compassion of God to give us what we need in order to live. And what do we need? He says that we don't live by bread alone. We must have love of God and the love of others. A person who can live in absolute separation from God and all others is like a demon. What we need more than anything else is to be connected by love to other people. Some other person, some other people, ultimately to God. And that's what he gives them. He gives it to them physically. It's the same as what we receive at the chalice, the body and blood of Christ. And as for the people in Corinth, if they are going to heal their divisions, they can only heal those divisions by sharing this oneness that God shares with us, by sharing his life with us, shares it on the cross, dies in order to destroy death so that we can be victors over death inside of ourselves, so that we can make the sacrifice from inside of ourselves in order to reunite ourselves to God and others, so that the sacrifice can come from within the body of Christ. That's what the church is meant to be in Corinth. The only way they can overcome their divisions is by making a sacrifice that comes from within the holiness of the body of Christ that they are together, where there is a repentance of their having missed the mark in being divided in the ways that they are. Just as when we repent of having from within ourselves missed the mark by way of hatred or anger or lust or willfulness, separating ourselves willfully from God and others and offering that up as sacrifice to God. That is a sacrament. Love has become a uniting sacrament for Christians. It is what guides us. It's what guides our parish life. It's what guides the whole church. And so Paul put that solution into practical terms for the people of Corinth. The lesson for us in our own lives is specifically and particularly that when it comes to the food that we really need, what we truly need more than anything else is a love for others and for God that is divine. No love that doesn't involve God can be like that. No love that doesn't involve God is really a true love, an actual love. Instead, it's selfish and separates rather than unites. That is the food that we need. That's why the 5,000 and all of the women and children followed Christ into the desert with no food of this world in order to gain something from Him that couldn't come from anyone else. That's why we come to the chalice, to receive the same thing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.